Well, you got a couple texts this week about this series. Can you tell I'm a little fired up about it? Amen. You know, the Lord's been dealing with me to preach on this. And every time that we do, everybody comes up higher. And we increase, and lives are changed, you know. I believe it could possibly be the most important series that I ever teach on. I know that some of those would give it a run for its money with importance of what it means for our lives, but especially when you see the words of Jesus. What I'm about to teach and preach for the next 4, 5, 6 weeks absolutely changed my life as a Christian and put me in a new category of receiving from Him and hearing from Him and the supernatural operating in my life. And for those of you that are familiar with what we're going to talk about when I mention it, and you say, well, I've been acquainted with this for years, I'm well-schooled in it, there's a revelation still that is not yet had by the people in the church of the purpose of what God has for us, and it will rejuvenate you by the end of this series in going forward and pressing into things like never before. And for those of you that are unfamiliar, you know, how many of you know we're all ignorant until we're not ignorant anymore? And for those of you that maybe are ignorant or unlearned in some of this stuff that I'm going to share, or maybe even skeptical, I know I was, or maybe you've had this taught against it before, you've heard people's opinions and things, you have your own ideas, it's going to be a place in your life, if you'll stick with me, and be someone that will renew your mind to the Word, that you'll look back on in your Christian walk with Him, and you'll say, that was the place where it turned. That was the marker of where it turned. And I'll explain some of those things and why that is, obviously, as we get going. But I'm just so thrilled. So let's pray and believe God, and we'll get into what we're going to talk about, and we'll just believe Him for utterance this morning. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for Your precious holy Word. Father, we cling tightly to the Word. We don't cling to our own beliefs, our own traditions, our own stereotypes, our own thoughts. We lay those down for the Word. We thank You for the Word. It's the Word that sets us free. So, Father, we need help this morning. And, Father, naturally, I don't have much help to give people. There's a few things I could teach people that wouldn't really benefit them too much in life. But if we teach on what the Holy Ghost wants us to share, and we stick with the Word of God and walk in that anointing, Father, people will walk out of here changed. So Holy Ghost, help me as I open my mouth, fill it with words from heaven. May I speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank You that bullseyes will be hit in people's hearts today. If you need to step on toes, do so. If you need to mow our grass the wrong way, do it. If you need to pet our fur the wrong way, do it. We want You this morning, Lord. Help us to say what needs to be said, to do what needs to be done. And we'll give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Acts chapter 1 is where we're going to start. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. It's going to be a fun service today, an interesting service. I'm preaching the same series in Allegheny, and it's on purpose, I believe. You know, it gives people an opportunity. If they can't be here on a Sunday, you can go to Saturday. If you can't be out there on a Saturday, you can come here on a Sunday. But you need to get this. I can't stress it enough. But again, like I always say, and I'll stress this going forward today, who gives a rip what Pastor Mike Anderson thinks? Who gives a rip what the TV preacher thinks? Who gives a rip what preacher so-and-so, grandma so-and-so, grandpa so-and-so, friend so-and-so, co-worker so-and-so? If it's not the Bible, who gives a rip? Amen? And so it's not my opinions you're going to hear. We're going to see it in the Word, and I'm just so thrilled because I know what it did for my life, what it's done for so many of you, and I know what it's going to do for the church. And for people that are newer with us, that are maybe unlearned in this, and it'll just help us as a whole. Praise God. But Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treaties I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion, after He died on the cross, rose again, by many infallible proofs, having seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them. So it's important to understand who he's talking to and where we're at. He's already died. He's already rose again. How many of you know the disciples? They needed to get born again just as much as you and I did. They did. Well, you can't get born again until Jesus has died and rose again. Well, he's died and rose again. They've confessed their belief in him. They're now what you'd call Christians. You do realize that most of the people in the New Testament were not Christians. Christianity didn't start until Jesus died and rose again. People started receiving him. Then they became Christians. Amen? Well, they're Christians now, and this is after Jesus has rose from the dead, and he's speaking to them. And he commands them. Now, you're going to see here that if you read this through, there was 120 of them that received it, but Jesus appeared to over 500 people. It was available to all of them. But he being assembled together with them, look at the next word, commanded. That's some pretty strong language that the Bible tells us that Jesus, his stance on this. He commanded them that they, the Christians, the new Christians, newly born again, should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, you have heard of me. So he's telling them, his people, now this is right before he's going up to be taken out of their sight. And we haven't seen him back here since on this earth, unless someone's had spiritual visions of him, but Jesus has not returned. This was the last time he was on planet earth, last thing he said to him, and then he was out of here, man. Elvis has left the building. He was gone, man. He was gone. Just zoop, there he goes. And he said, you need to stay in Jerusalem. I'm not suggesting this. I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm commanding you. You know, we're big on the Ten Commandments, aren't we, in Christianity? We like to, you know, pound our chest. We want those to be able to in schools. We want those in the courthouses. And I'm for the Ten Commandments, the Word of God. Thou shalt not steal, you know. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt take the Lord's name. And all those. And we're big on those because they're commandments from God. But this is a commandment from God. He commanded them, not suggested, that they don't leave. He said, you need to receive the promise. Well, then he tells in verse 5 what the promise is. John truly baptized with water, John the Baptist, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence or not many days from now. So he's saying, the thing you need is this baptism, not like John's baptism. You need to be baptized or immersed in the Holy Ghost. And then he says in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. He said, but you shall, and this is why Jesus commanded them, you shall receive power. That word power in the Greek is the word dunamis. It means supernatural power, dynamite, explosive power. He's telling his precious, beloved people who are going to go out into a world run by the devil, who are going to go out to tell people about him in this new way and how to be born again, how to receive Jesus, how to get God in your life. He says, don't leave until you get this, because the thing you're going to get with it is power. If you leave before this comes, you're going to go out without power, is what he's saying. And so he says, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I'm not going to get ahead of myself in this series, but I will say this as an appetizer. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, they went those places, but the disciples never reached the shores of South Dayton, or Fredonia, or Forestville, or Cherry Creek, or Allegheny, or Olean. None of those places. So he says, and guess what? We're still called today to be witnesses unto him in all the parts of the earth. Why? If we're not, people don't hear about him. Didn't he tell us in Mark 16 in the Great Commission? Go into all the world. Well, he couldn't have been talking just to them, because if he was talking just to them, then I guess the people of poor old South Dayton aren't going to get it, because the disciples never made it here. But we did. He gave his people a supernatural dynamite explosive power to go out into a world to be superheroes to save the planet. Amen. What's the little appetizer I'm giving you? If he gave it to them for that reason and we have the same purpose as they had, guess what Jesus wants us to go out with? Power. The same devil back then that was hindering is the same devil hindering now. But we'll prove that maybe next week. Praise God. And so then Jesus was taken up out of their sight. That was it. Last thing he said. Go with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. This is the fulfillment of what Jesus said. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Well, that's what Jesus said to do. Don't leave until you get this, right? They were good listeners, at least 120 of them were. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I heard that all night long. Like, the Holy Ghost is here, man. He's here. Mighty force. I think that's why we had that wind last night, because of this. I'm joking. Man, boy, he's spiritual. I love when Pastor Nancy Dufresne tells the story of, you know, she was 20 years younger than Dr. Dufresne. God put them together supernaturally. And he was so far advanced from her spiritually. And, you know, she was learning. She was going in the same direction, but she was learning things. And Doctor was way more in tune to the Holy Ghost. She'd come from a denomination, didn't hear anything about the Holy Ghost really, you know. And the anointing came in, and the presence of God came in. And he sensed it. He said to Nancy, oh, you sense it, his presence? Well, she didn't sense nothing. But she didn't want him to know, and so she just said, oh, oh. Didn't say yes, didn't say no, just, oh. Well, anyway, some of you like that story. So you did. Man, he's spiritual, that wind last night. No, that was just a joke. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. Well, Jesus said, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled or baptized with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, the series that we're going to spend the next 5 or 6 weeks on, and we're going to look at it up, down, sideways, and backwards, we're going to leave no stone unturned in this series. We are going to hit everything and make it so absolutely clear. Some of you already, when you've heard the word baptism of the Holy Ghost and you heard the word tongues, you already got nervous. You already got a feeling of rejection and to try to push against that. Well, the problem with it is that the Holy Ghost, unfortunately, has no place in the majority of the churches in the world. We're excited about God the Father and we're excited about Jesus, but when it comes to things of the Holy Ghost, don't talk about the Holy Spirit. Yet He's the only one of the Trinity, the three, the Godhead, that is still on the earth today. God is not on the earth. He's in heaven. Jesus is seated at His right hand on the throne. But the Holy Ghost is still on the earth, and many churches never talk about Him. They'll skip over whole portions. Books of the Bible, full chapters, just skip over it. Why? They don't have scripture for why. Amen? But I'm going to give you the scripture for why it's what you need. Amen? Hallelujah. This changed my life. Now again, don't take my word for it. I'm going to show you verse after verse. And the way you're going to feel after, for those of you that are unlearned and ignorant in this, you're going to think, where was this my whole life growing up? Why didn't they teach me this? Why did that person behind the pulpit that I sat and listened to all those years, why didn't they ever tell me this? It's not some obscure passages in the Bible that the charismatics and the Pentecrazies, that's what they call those Pentecostals, you know, Pentecrazies. It's not something that they just grab a hold of and try to preach it and dram it down your throat so their church looks a certain way. It's all throughout the Bible. But again, don't take my word for it. Stick around. The worst thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to stick around, find out that I was a liar, then you can go out of here and start spreading rumors about how I'm a liar on Facebook. You can do that if you wanted to. That's the worst thing that will happen to you. But what could happen to you is your whole world could change. Did for me. Here I was, a born-again Christian, January 10th, 2002. 18 years ago on Friday, right? And I'm a child of God, born again, filled with salvation. I'm going to heaven and life's hell on earth. I'm full of addictions. I'm full of wrong living. I'm full of sickness in my body, complete poverty. And I'm a child of God. And this went on for months and months and months. You know what the change was? Right here. Right here was the change. I always say it's the second greatest thing that's ever happened to me. It was the baptism of the Holy Ghost besides salvation. Now think about Peter for a second. prior to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what was Peter? A wuss. Someone that denied Jesus to three people, one of them being a little girl. On Jesus' greatest night of torment and pressure and oppression, Peter was nowhere to be found. I don't know him. Post-baptism of the Holy Ghost, filled with this power, we see Peter preaching to the masses, standing in the face of opposition, willing to die for him. The change in his life. And some of you, those of you that could say, yep, Pastor Mike, I know the change prior and post to receiving the Holy Ghost, give me a big fat amen. Amen. It's true. I'm telling you. If you're on the outside looking in, it's time to get in the river, man. It's time to get in. You don't know what you're missing. But again, we'll show you what the Bible says. You ought to know me long enough. We're not crazy around here. We're not swinging from the chandeliers and doing things you can't explain by the Bible. How many times have you, most of you have never even heard me pray in tongues. Why? Because there's a place and time for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Just come in here and start praying in tongues. Everybody praying in tongues. Everybody doing crazy things. Open mic night at the church. These are the kind of things that happen in places. And the problem with that is, that's a ditch. And that ditch turns people off. And so instead of getting in the middle of the road, they jump over the middle of the road and they go into the other ditch of, let's not bring up the Holy Ghost at all. But there's a middle of the road. And it's the Bible. Praise God. So excited for this series. We're going to see, what is this baptism of the Holy Ghost business? What is this tongues, speaking in tongues business? Tongues is only ooky, spooky, and weird to you because you don't know what it is. You've been told what it is. You've been given opinions on what it is. But the Bible, God's not the God of confusion. The Bible defines it as something that will make such perfect sense to you and something that you'll just crave and desire. But all you hear it is some gibberish that some crazy radical groups of the Christian faith just something to stir things up and that's for them. But that's not what the Bible defines it as. And we'll look at that in the series. We're going to look at it all. Praise God. But I need to lay a foundation first. And today's a foundation layer. And I want to assure you, if you're in a place where you're ignorant to this or you have your own ideas and things, I came from a place that never taught it. I mean, when I first heard this, I thought, what in the world did I get myself into? Well, I always tell you, I thought I joined the granola church. The fruity, the flaky, and the nutty, right? Until I saw in the Word, praise God, it changed my life. Here's what I want to point out before we go forward. It should say something to you that the very last thing that Jesus says before he exits stage left, the very last thing you would think when someone's about to go away for thousands of years, that the last thing that they have to say on earth, wow, it's going to be pretty important. And the language he used, I command you, the very last thing was what when he left, before he left to go to heaven? Don't leave home without the Holy Ghost. Don't leave home without this baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying to his church. Church, I need you to know, don't leave home without this. That should whet your appetite enough to say, maybe there's something to this. Amen? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Again, this is foundation, but this will apply today to anything because what we're doing this morning is preparing your heart to receive. Because I'm not here to deny that people haven't been turned off, people haven't been rubbed the wrong way with this stuff, people haven't been exposed to things that have been so far out of bounds of the Word of God and have turned them off and made them want nothing to do with this. And even the mere mention of speaking in tongues is, oh, if it's one of those churches, I don't want anything to do with it. Or baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's so many wrong ideas and connotations about it. People just immediately push against it. So we need to prepare your heart to receive. Amen? And the way we prepare hearts is through the Word. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if you can rightly divide the word, guess what you also can do? Wrongly divide the word. There's always a middle of the road on everything. You say, well, how do you know what the middle of the road is? Well, there's lots of different biblical principles for what you call hermeneutics or how to study the Bible. There's things like context. There's things like verses before, verses after. There's the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Who's the audience? All sorts of different things. But God makes it clear. And the naysayers, I'm just here to tell you because we're going to disprove the naysayers too. I'm going to point out all the stuff that they say of why it's not. They pull random scripture out, don't looking at the verses before, not looking at the verses after, not looking at the context and the subject, and say, see, look at what it says. And they just put a blanket on the whole thing and say, ah, that's not God. Yet the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian who ever lived, did the most, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, stood up and penned in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Of course, he didn't write the numbers and we mended that, but he wrote the letter. I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Amen. The greatest Christian ever was not hiding from it. He was boasting about how much he prayed in tongues. There must be something to this baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues. There just must be, but let's find out what the Word says about it. Amen? Because who cares what I think? I don't want my church to look any way but the Word. I'm not trying to have it, you know, be, well, what are you, Pastor Mike? Are you charismatic? Are you Pentecostal? We're a word church. What's that mean? We believe the Bible. We believe the Bible, praise God. Now, going forward and preparing your heart, well, you know, I said this, it doesn't matter what I think or say, but guess what? It doesn't matter what you think or say either. It doesn't. It doesn't matter what someone told you. Who cares? If it's not the Bible, I don't care how much you trust them, how much you love them. If it's not the Word of God, you don't want that counsel. Amen? Go with me to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. This will help your heart in receiving some of this stuff. And like I said, worst thing that's going to happen in this series is you're going to hear me. I'm not going to come in here and start dancing around and banging a drum and start shalabobbing in front of you, you know, and make you do anything. Nothing. There's just going to be this kind of setting. We're seeing you say, oh, that wasn't in the Bible. This pastor's a liar. I'm going to go to a different church. And I would encourage you to go to a different church if I'm not preaching the Bible. Run for the hills as fast as you can. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Look at this principle that God wants us to know here. He says, the natural man, you do know you're a three-part being, right? You're a natural man. You have a flesh and blood. You have a mind or a soul, mind, will, and emotions. But you're also a spirit being. The real you is a spirit being. You have a spirit man and a natural man. And the Bible says the natural man, which is the carnal, the flesh and blood of you, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. It says you can't receive the things of God in your flesh. I'll use salvation as an example. If you try to understand salvation with your mind and your flesh, you can't do it. It makes no sense. My mind and flesh says, oh yeah, right. There was a man who lived for 33 and a half years and he was perfect. And he died and all my sin was placed on him and he rose from the dead. And now I just have to confess my faith in him and believe in him and then I get eternal bliss in heaven. Yeah, right. But you know what? My heart, you can't talk me out of that. It won't make any sense to your head. Why? The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him. What's he trying to say to us here? Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. He's saying to us, there are things of God that your flesh, your mind are going to kick against, are going to say, that is not normal, that is not right, I don't want that. And the Bible says that's normal. Why? You can't naturally discern these things. Tongues was never meant to be filtered through your brain. In fact, the Bible, and we'll talk about this when we talk about praying in tongues, the Bible tells you that your brain is not even supposed to know what's going on. So when you have those feelings of, what in the world are they saying? That's completely biblical and normal. You're not supposed to get it through your head or your flesh. You can't discern it through your head and your flesh. It's a spiritual thing. And he gives us a principle that the things of the Spirit, are not received by the natural man. In fact, they're foolishness to him. I don't know about you, but you know what was foolishness to Pastor Mike Anderson? 10% of my income was foolishness to me. Couldn't receive that with my mind and my flesh. But when I got in my heart and I knew it was the Word of God and got the witness of the Spirit of God, bearing witness with what the Holy, with what the Word of God is saying, it became easy for me. Amen. You know what's foolishness to you? Forgiving somebody that's completely wronged you in horrible ways. Yet the Bible says if you have anything against anybody, your job is to forgive them. You can't get that in your head. You can't get that in your flesh. That's foolishness. Why would I forgive? Can't get it. It's the same thing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you try to get through here or your flesh, it'll be foolishness to you. Crazy talk. Amen. So he says the things of the Spirit cannot be received by the natural man. Now remember that, the things of the Spirit. Now go to John 6 and verse 63. John 6 and verse 63. Knowing this principle, and if you just mix a little humility with it, will help you going forward. And I'll tell you what I mean by the humility in a second. So remember, he said, the things of the Spirit, your natural man are going to think they're foolish. Jesus said, it's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh or the natural man profits nothing. The words, everybody say words. The words I speak unto you, which would be the Word of God. What did he say? The words I speak unto you, they are natural and they are carnal. No. He says, the words I speak unto you, they are Spirit words and they are life. So, with that being said, we already point out a couple of them. Tongues, yes, but we just mentioned forgiveness and tithing. We could go on and on in the Word about different things. He said, my words are Spirit. Well, what did he say in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14? The things of the Spirit are foolishness to the mind and the flesh. So there's going to be things in the Bible. Now, this is where you mix the humility in. Where maybe, just maybe, you don't know everything. Did I say that? Is there a chance that maybe you in the seat that you're sitting in don't know everything? Is there a chance that maybe, just maybe, you were taught by somebody that didn't know everything either? That's what humility would do. I remember encountering things early on that I came into my pastor church and I saw things that he could explain by the Bible afterwards that he sat me down and, but as they were going on, I thought, oh my gosh, the last time I'm coming here. Amen. But I was smart enough and I realized this. I had been, that I won't tell that event, take too long to tell that story, and I don't have the release to say it, so we don't need to waste that time. But 5 months into being a brand new baby Christian, I experienced some things in the Word that I'd never seen in the church I grew up in. And it was crazy to me. But I was smart enough after 5 months, which is shocking that I was that smart enough back then, because there was not a whole lot of smarts going on back then. We haven't increased too much now, but we're farther along than we used to be. And that's just the truth. But anyways, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. It is absolutely moronic that I'm up here preaching to you and telling you how to live your life. It's dumb. Naturally, it's stupid. But he says he'll use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Ain't nothing more bigger than a fool than I was. Praise God. It's the truth. And back then, I was smart enough. I said, you know what? I've been here for 5 months, and my pastor has only ever shared the Word of God. He's never gone out of the boundaries of the Word. And I said, you know what? Maybe I just don't know everything. Maybe I haven't experienced everything yet. And I'm going to, at the end of the series, I'm going to meet with my pastor and ask him, Pastor, I saw this in church. Because I knew enough for 5 months that he's not going to go outside the boundaries of the Bible, and he's not going to let people come in and do things in his church outside the boundaries of the Bible. And he sat me down and he showed me why when people get hands laid on them, why sometimes they fall out. It's biblical, people. He showed me why it's okay to rejoice and to laugh and to be excited for God. We don't criticize the New Era Field 70-some thousand when they score a touchdown. Josh Allen dives across jumping and shouting and hooting and hollering. But when the church does it, what are those weirdos, those fanatics doing? How dare they be excited about not having to go to hell? But yet it's so normal for a touchdown. That's normal. People go to a bar and get drunk and dance around and hoot and holler, and that's normal. But the church has a little bit of fun and excitement and has happy times and peaceful, joyful, rejoicing times and put our nose up to it, and those crazy fanatics. You're darn right I'm fanatical about Jesus. You better believe it. He saved my rear. Saved yours too. Praise God. Ain't nothing that the bills can do that's going to get me to the level of excitement that my Jesus did for me. Praise God. But he said, my words are spirit and they are life. Now here's what I want to help you to lay the groundwork. We have to lay aside, if we're going to, not just for this, because some of you have already received this, and this isn't a problem for you. But some of you might have received this, and you're still struggling in other areas. Forgiveness, tithing, serving, all sorts of different things in the Word that rub our flesh the wrong way. We have to grow in God, lay down our comfort zones. It's not about your comfort level. You look in the Word, and things God asks people to do, he never once asked them, is this comfortable for you? Hey, woman, give your last meal away. Is it comfortable for you to do that? Hey, Jonah, go to a city you don't want to go to. Well, I don't want to. I didn't ask you if you wanted to, Jonah. Remember we talked about this whole democracy thing? It's not a democracy with God either. People treat him like it is. Oh, he's your Savior, but he isn't your Lord. Ouch. Don't say that, Pastor Mike. It's the truth. And we need to lay down our comfort, what's comfortable to us. We need to lay down our traditions. The Bible doesn't say you'll be set free by your comfort zone. The Bible doesn't say if you have some really solid traditions of men, you'll be set free. No, the Bible says the truth, the Word of God, will set you free. Court has... they're not listening by live stream, I would imagine. No, I mean, you see her face. It's like, no, they're not listening. Don't worry, we're good. I love her family. They're so good to me, you know, and it's such relaxing around them. But I'll tell you something. I won't tell you where they're at or what they're planted in. They're some of the most faithful churchgoers we know. Do things for their church. No power in their life. No miracles, no signs and wonders. Why? They are clinging to, I mean, sweaty palms to their traditions of men. Things that you can't even explain by the Bible. Actually, things that the Bible teaches against. Wonderful people clinging to their past traditions and what they're comfortable with and what they were brought up under. That stuff doesn't set you free, people. The truth does. And Jesus said sometimes the truth is going to be laced with uncomfortable feelings. You know, the whole patting your fur backwards the wrong way, mowing your grass sideways, stepping on your toes, that kind of stuff. Amen. If we don't lay that stuff down, we'll never get into what God has for us. Because I could point out a lot of your situations, like you could point out a lot of my situations. You came from places that cling to these things. I mean, they absolutely cling to these things. Of what they're staunch and what they're not going to teach it. They're going to teach against it. They're just, this is the way they do things, the way they always done things. And that's the way it is. Right? And you've come out of that and you were willing to lay those things down. Things like divine healing, things like prosperity. Some of you came from places that either don't teach it or teach against it. And you had to lay down your past teachings and what someone told you and say, you know what? That's not the Bible, but this is the Bible. And you received, praise God. Go with me to John 6 and verse 53. I want to show you something that will blow your mind. John 6 and verse 53. Again, talking about things in the Word that will trip you up. Before I read this, I want to get us all on the same page with something. I'm not looking for you to blindly agree with me, but what I'm going to ask you is really just a facetious question that the answer is already implied. Was Jesus perfect? Yes, he was. Did anything that fell from his lips, was it ever doctrinally wrong? No, he was God in the flesh. In fact, he said, I only say what I hear him say. I only do what he does. Everything Jesus did on the earth was a visible representation of God on the earth. God among us, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, right? Jesus was the most doctrinally sound preacher there ever was and ever will be. Why? He was the epitome of the Word because He was the Word. So when Jesus preached, regardless of the reaction, He was right. He was perfect. He was hitting the bullseye, amen? We agree on that, right? Okay, let's go forward. Now Jesus is preaching. In verse 53, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For My flesh is meat indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. He that eats My flesh and drinks My blood dwells in Me, and I in him." Now, here's the thing. This is where you take time to learn. Jesus isn't talking about gnawing on His elbow. Poking a straw in Him and... It's not what He's talking about. He would have told them gladly what He was talking about. He's not a God of confusion. He says, "As the living Father," verse 57, "has sent Me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth Me, even he shall live by Me." Now, I love this right here. Right here, what He's about to do is He's about to stomp on their traditions. This is the bread. He said, "This is that bread." He's talking about Himself. "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna." What's He doing? Stomping on their traditions. Because why? They clung to Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob, their forefathers. And He said, "Get rid of the thinking. It's not their bread you need anymore. It's this bread is what you need." What did He do? Absolutely stomp on their religion and their traditions and their comfort zone. He said, "Get rid of that." I love it. He came to stir the pot, man. He says, he even puts a nail in the coffin right here. He says, "Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead." They're gone. They're not here anymore. It's Me now. Love it. He's awesome. You just should tell Him sometimes, "You're awesome," because He is. Praise God. He says, "He that eats of this bread shall live forever. These things said He in synagogue as He taught in Capernaum." Now, we already established what He just preached was perfect. 100% smack dab, Word of God, dead center, down the middle of the road, bullseye. Hallelujah. "Many, therefore, of His disciples." What are disciples? Not casual hearers. People that followed Him. That hooked their life up to Him. "Many, therefore, of His disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?'" Well, what did it do? Mowed their grass backwards. Pat their fur backwards, right? Stepped on their toes. Got out of their comfort zone. They never heard anything like that before. This isn't what we're used to. Isn't that what a lot of you found out when you came to this church? Hey, this ain't what I'm used to. That's the way I felt. But what I was used to had no power in it. Nobody was getting healed. Nobody was getting born again. Nobody was getting set free. Marriages were not being restored. Miracles, signs and wonders were not happening in the used to. I'm just telling you, they weren't. And a lot of you would testify and say, "Yep, none of that was going on where I came from." Doesn't mean they're bad people. Doesn't mean they're not wonderful Christians who love the Lord and are heaven bound. This is not a matter of heaven and hell. But it is a matter of how your life's going to look like on the earth. He said, "You'll get power when you get this." Well, I'm just here to tell you, I have Amish friends. Great friends of mine. Some of my best friends. And their life is different than mine because they don't have power. I have power. It's a big V8. My trips to Walmart are easier than their trips to Walmart. Yeah. I've got a big washing machine and dryer. Doing my laundry's way easier than when they do theirs. Sure is. Just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. I just had a thought, but I'm not released to share it. Sometimes it's got. I know that's a teaser. I know. That's not fair to do to you, but sometimes I just go on the fly and things come out of me. But And Jesus said, you'll have power. And the difference of the used to was no power, and the difference to the now is there's power and things are getting done. And lives are being really changed, praise God. But Jesus said here, this is what he said, and the disciples said, who can hear this? When Jesus, verse 61, heard in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? I'm just still thinking if I can tell that joke. Honestly, man. Because we're talking about power. I'll just say this. My Amish friends and me, we go back and forth all the time. I'm always picking on them about stuff. And they're always picking on me about my English ways, you know. And I saw this. It's wonderful. And it's a good question. How does an Amish woman know when it's a romantic candlelit dinner or just dinner? And I'm going to tell that to my friends. That's why I thought, you know what? I could say that to him. He'll like it. How do they know? How does she know? Oh, my husband's being sweet tonight. There's candlelight. There's always candlelight. Well, I just said it anyways. Praise God. Fly, you know, shoot at the hip, repent later. Sometimes. Praise God. I think I can go on now. I think we're good. I just was really stuck there for a second. You probably thought, man, what's he contemplating up there? The joke. Can I tell the joke? I want to tell the joke. But anyways, Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at him. He said, does this offend you? Does this rub you the wrong way? He says, what is it if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that would believe not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him from my Father. Now look at this. Verse 66. Perfect preacher, perfect message, perfect word, 100%, word of God, bullseye, best doctrine you can have. Perfection fell from his lips. And look what the Bible says. From that time, what's the next word after time? Wait, what's it say? A few?
Many.
From that time, after what? After Jesus preached something that rubbed them the wrong way, that they weren't used to, that's not how I was taught, that's not what I'm used to, that's not what I'm comfortable with, many turned and walked with him no more. They left perfection because they were uncomfortable and unwilling to have their minds renewed and their little toes stepped on. You see that there? We know the ones that stayed with him got to see and experience mighty things. What did they miss out on because they gave into their flesh? What I was taught. That's not what I was taught growing up. Grandma didn't tell me this. Preacher so-and-so said to be careful about this. But if it's in the Word, and he was the Word, they should have just said, hey, we don't understand this. We don't get this. But you're Jesus. And you're the Word of God. And we know you're a man. Amen? Same thing here. Well, I don't, Pastor Mike, I hear the word tongues, I hear baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I get all sorts of thoughts. But you know what? You've never not preached the Word one time to me. Give me this series. I'm asking you to give me this series. Amen. This topic is the most disputed and misunderstood topic in all the Bible. You want to know why? Because when you see the benefits of what comes into your life, when you walk into this and receive this, you'll see, oh, I understand why the devil's confusing things. The last thing the devil wants is a bunch of crazy Jesuses running around the earth filled with power. And so he'll give you all sorts of thoughts. I mean, he'll use mighty men and women of God to write books and to have conferences with thousands of people and tell you how it's wrong. It's the truth. When in the Word, they can't prove that by the Word. Give me this series and I'll show you in the Word upside down, backwards, frontwards, and forwards how biblical it is and how common it is in the Word. And so many of them walked away and went with him no more because they were uncomfortable. We would say this, what? They missed out, didn't they? Because they were unwilling to renew their mind. They were unwilling to lay down their comfort zones and lay down their traditions. They missed out. Well, y'all remember the one golf lesson that I had? You know, I grew up playing baseball. And the one golf lesson I had, the instructor said, now swing, I want to see you hit. I didn't have a problem hand-eye coordination. I didn't miss the ball. I didn't have a problem hitting it far. I had a problem hitting it straight. I've been going the left, the weeds and the water and the sand. And, you know, you better bring a lot of golf balls with you if you're playing, you know, back then with me. And he says, grab a club and hit it. So I did. I grabbed that thing just like this. To the left, to the right. He says, you played baseball, didn't you? I said, yeah. He goes, I can tell. He says, come here. And here's the thing. My form was good. I mean, look at this form. I mean, it's really good. But my grip, he said, the way you're gripping it like a baseball bat. He said, watch me hit. And he gets up there and just straight down the fairway, 200, 250 yards every time. And he says, you're holding the club wrong. So he gets behind me and he's maneuvering my arms and my fingers. And I'm holding it and he's grabbing my fingers and he's interlocking index and pinky and thumbs straight down, and it's the most uncomfortable and crazy feeling thing ever. I said, I can't do this. This can't be right. It's uncomfortable to me. It's not what I've always done. It's not what feels right to me. It's not what I thought. And you know what he said to me? He said, if you want to keep hitting them in the left, in the water, in the right, you want to keep doing that? You go ahead and hold it the way you want. But let me remind you who the pro is. And that's what he said to me. He said, and I'm telling you, your problem is the way you hold that club. So grumpy, I finally said yes. Grabbed it like he said, interlocked, did the thumb thing, had my arms, whatever he said. And I was amazed how quickly my swing in the golf ball went from there, there, to there, just by the grip. Well, I was willing to what? Lay down my comfort zone. Because there was a pro. I'm not trying to brag to you, but I'm in your life to bring you up higher spiritually. You're there to learn from me. Not the other way around. That's why you're here. To get something from God. You recognize there's something going on here. Not in the man, in the anointing, in the plan. Not the man. We just look at the man, we're in trouble. Woo-wee! Don't look at the man. Look at the plan. Look at the call. Look at the anointing. Look at the word that comes out. Amen? Maybe someone who's living in victory. Does that mean everything's perfect and I don't have tests and trials? No. I get tests and trials that you don't even know about. Hot and heavy stuff because of what I'm doing. And that's scriptural. Amen? But you know what always happens with Pastor Mike Anderson? I never lose. I never come out better. Never come out less. Always come out better. Never come out lacking. Always come out in victory. Always come out in victory. Walking right over these tests and trials. Why? That's the life of a Christian. We're supposed to walk in victory. We're not the weasel and the scum of the earth that the devil wants us to think we are. No, we have the greater one on the inside of us. So maybe, just maybe, you should say, you know what? His finances aren't a mess. I've heard him get healed of some pretty major things. He's told me some crazy testimonies before. Maybe, just maybe, should say, you know what? I'm going to sit and listen. It's uncomfortable, and it rubs me the wrong way a little bit, and I'm not used to this. I'm like, hey, you're the pro. You're hitting it right down the center. I'll do what you say, sir. Praise God. I'll close with this, and then I'm just going to mention an overview of what we're going to share in this series. I think about how Jesus spoke a sermon. Well, before we go on, look at what he said in verse 67. Many left. And then in verse 67, Jesus looked to the 12. His church, you talk about losing people in his church real fast. I love that Jesus didn't go chase them down and say, hey, come on, no, I'll back off of that. I'm sorry, people, I'm not going to back off the Bible. I don't give a rip about empty seats. It doesn't bother me at all. You can't start a church in South Dayton and concern yourself with empty seats. I don't care about empty seats. But I want the ones that are filled to be strong, victorious, walking this out, walking the plan of God out. We have people that are doing that, praise God. And Jesus looked at the 12. He didn't go chasing down because what was he going to do? You can't change perfection. You can't change the truth. I might rub people the wrong way with what I say, but I don't know what else to say. It's the only manual I got. Yeah. Amen. And I'll tell you what. We have preachers all over America, all over Chautauqua County, Cattaraugus County, that are interested in their seats being filled, and they think they're knocking it out of the park because they got the biggest church and the biggest buildings and the smoke and light show on the worship team and all the programs. The programs, the worship team, the buildings, the seats being filled don't set you free. The Word sets you free. But they're so, what we call seeker sensitive, they appease the flesh because they want people to feel comfortable, because if they'll feel comfortable, they're more liable to stay in a seat. And to their, in their mind, if I have a big church, I can say, well, I got a church of this many people and all my seats are filled. That ain't success. Jesus dropped down to 12 and he was the most successful preacher on the planet. And he had a church of 12 after this sermon. And he's not wigging out about it. Oh my gosh, what do I do? My church, what are people going to think? Didn't care. I'm telling you, your pastor don't care. I don't care. I got to stand before him someday. Jesus said to the 12, are you going away too? I just need to know, are you leaving? Let me know. And look what Peter said in the next verse. I love it. Peter answered him and said, and a lot of you would say this from where you came from, where in the world are we going to go from here? You have the words of eternal life. I am amazed. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, people that walk away. It's a matter of life and death at times. And I'm not kidding around when I say it's a matter of life and death. Man, oh man. Miracles, signs, and wonders happen in people's lives. Things that happened that never happened before and changes. And they'll walk away. Oh. And Peter said, how can we leave, Lord? Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Love it. You cling to the Word of God. If I stop preaching it, go somewhere else. Amen? I think about the people that missed out of what Jesus had, you know, because it was uncomfortable for them. And when God told me to go to Rhema, it's a hard thing for me. As a young man who just came out of quitting 26 jobs in 2 years, as a non-Christian, you know, I was very unfaithful, not very moral, didn't have a lot of integrity or character. And I got saved and things changed. I was a new man. But family wouldn't receive that. When they heard I'm going to be a preacher, you talk about the eye rolls. Oh, preacher now. What happened to speech pathologist? What happened to professional fishermen on the boats of Anchorage, Alaska? Those are all the things I wanted to do. What happened to a gym teacher? What happened to an elementary school teacher? All these things I went to college for. I was there for maybe a month or two, quit. All these different jobs I did. And now I'm going to be a preacher. Okay. I had no money. I had a 1990 Nissan pickup with 200,000 miles on it. So rusty, I threw a snowball through the whole truck. One side to the next. I told you I played baseball, but I didn't have that good of an arm. It was that rusty. Had no money. Family wasn't going to give me any money. I thought I'm crazy. Knew nobody. Had just enough money to get there and get my first month's rent of apartment that I had saved up. And then I had to get a job. Didn't have a job going there. Had to get a full-time job and go to school full-time, which someone that's not used to that kind of stuff, that's hard on the flesh. I was running from 7 in the morning to 11 at night every single night. That was a change for me, just to keep my one nostril above the water, because God told me to do it. So when I went there, it was a hard thing. It was very difficult to my flesh. I could go into more stories, but that you get the point. And before I left, the summer before I left, my dad and I were working out at a gym that was actually inside of a church down in Pennsylvania. And we had a membership there. You know, I told you my dad had a restaurant. And I'm working out there, and I got to know the pastor, and I had worked with their youth a little bit. You know, I used to be a youth group leader, and I've always just done well with the kids and stuff, and enjoy working with children and helping them, especially with things I went through as a kid. I don't want to see kids go through what I had to go through. I was tormented as a child. Amen. And so he saw that, and we're on a treadmill one day, and he says, Mike, I know you're called to the ministry. You've talked to me about it a little bit. He said, where are you? You got to get some schooling, get some experience or whatever. Where are you going to go? And I told him, I'm going down to Rhema, down in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And he said, isn't that healing school? I said, that teaches on divine healing? I said, yeah. He said, you know that's not biblical, right? Well, I hadn't been at it very long, but what I knew was, all I knew about healing was what the Bible was, my pastor told me about healing, and I was shocked. So I thought, hey, if it's not the Word, show me in the Word where it's not healing. Well, he didn't open his mouth and give me scriptures. When they start bashing tongues and stuff, and they start bashing the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's a lot of opinions. You know, most people criticize my church. They never even talk to me. They've never even been in one of my sermons. That's the truth. He didn't start telling me scriptures. He said, Sister so-and-so in my church, most faithful lady I had, served in every department we needed her to, was so good, was so kind, loved the Lord so much. He's given me all the spiel, you know, her resume. He said, she died of cancer. And he said, that right there tells me that healing's not God, because if God's will was to heal, he certainly would have healed her. Well, I didn't know it enough back then. It sat wrong with me, but what I know now is he's judging the Word of God by somebody's experience. You can't judge the Word by someone's... In fact, if we were going to judge God's Word by experience, then God's a big fat liar. You know what I mean? He said this, I'm not willing that anyone in the world would perish, but that all would be saved. That's what he said. He said, my will is nobody goes to hell. But do people go to hell? Yep. I guess it must not be God's will then. Well, we can see clearly in the Bible. It's God's will to heal. I mean, it's so clear in there. The Old Testament people who weren't even born again had a covenant of healing. He got up and said in Exodus 15, I'm the God that heals you. That's what I do. Psalms 103, verse 3, David says, don't forget his benefits. He forgives your iniquities and heals your diseases. Psalms 107, 20, he sent his word. He sent it. That means he wanted to do it and healed them. The Old Testament people had healing all throughout the Bible. We don't have less than them. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, not every Christian's healed. Must be it's not God's will. No, you can't judge what people are going through. Well, it can't be God's will for prosperity. I know so-and-so, they love the Lord, and they cry during worship, and they have a Jesus fish on their car, and they're so moral, and they're good, and they're broke as can be. Can't be God's will for prosperity if they're not walking in it. You can't judge the Word of God by people's circumstances. And so I knew enough in my heart to obey God, and I did. But here's the point. The Bible school he wanted me to go to, they don't just, and I won't mention it because that's one sign you find of what spirit somebody's operating under. You know, Brother Hagin never one time criticized people from the pulpit and used their name. And people bashed him and came against him. They didn't have no problem using his name. But he was under the right spirit. The people that are under the wrong spirit will just keep throwing people under the bus. That's the truth. That's the spirit of the devil. That's the truth. And so I won't say the Bible school, but the Bible school he wanted me to go to didn't just not teach it, taught against it. That you got to wait to get to heaven. That healing stuff, it passed away. Okay. Well, the Word says faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. You know how you get faith for healing? You hear about healing. You can't have faith for healing until you hear the Word on healing. Well, he told me, I'll pay for your schooling. Go to my school. When you get out, I've seen you work with kids. You could become my full-time paid youth leader with benefits. We had a contract. He said, I'll have you sign a contract. You just go up there. I'll pay for your schooling. You can come home on the weekends. You don't even have to get a job. We'll give you spending money. You just spend time on your school. Well, that sounded really good to my flesh. But boy, oh boy, had I made that choice to part from the Word and to go with comfort like they did. We know they missed out on the greatest show around. They missed it. What about the guy that, the rich young ruler that Jesus said, sell everything you have and follow me. He wouldn't do it because why? It was uncomfortable for him. What did he miss out on? That's all we hear about him is his failure. What are the exploits Jesus would have had him? We hear about Peter and all the disciples that did things for God, and we talk about them, and they're forever reverenced in heaven, and we're excited to meet them someday. And the rich young ruler, And these people left Jesus and missed out. Had I went with comfort level and not the word, I'll just tell you that when my appendix exploded a few years back, after being 3 days, my appendix ruptured for 3 days, the poison went through my body. Some people die within hours of that happening. That's why they rush you in to get that thing out of there. Well, I didn't know. And it ruptured and it felt good because the pressure was gone, but it had ruptured for 3 days. The poison was in my body. And I was in a service at Jamestown Church, and I was soaking wet in my suit. You could wring it out. I was sitting on the front row next to my pastor. And I am sweating so bad, and I'm freezing cold at the same time. I go home, I drive myself, which wasn't smart, but I drove myself to the emergency room, walked in, collapsed on the floor. Next thing I know, I wake up, and the doctor says, I don't know how you're alive. It's the worst appendix we've ever seen. Then I told him a story. He says, okay, now that makes sense. Because he was walking me through, when did you start having this pain? I said, well, 3 days ago, it felt great. I had a rush of warmth go through my body, and I thought it was whatever it was fixed. He said, no, that was when it ruptured. And the pressure was off, but now the poison went through your body. Well, I was in the hospital for over 2.5 weeks. Grandma Alice, wave your hand, can testify. Because as I was drugged up, I was sending her some weird text messages. She could blackmail me for days. Oh, man. But I got some stuff on you. Oh, I do. Don't do it. Don't do it. I could fight nasty, Grandma. Praise God. It's the truth. Said I was all drugged up, you know, and the doctors came in. So I'm sorry to tell you this, but you did some irreversible damage to your body. You know, I was in the hospital for over 2.5 weeks, and it usually takes a day or two to get out for an appendectomy. That's how bad it was, and things just kept happening. So you did some irreversible damage to your body that will never be fixed. That's what they told me. That was what the doctor's report was. And they said, some of the symptoms you're experiencing in your body, I had some crazy things going on. I said, probably won't leave for like about a year's time. Well, when you hear that, if you're being told that God's not a healer, how did the woman with the issue of blood get healed? Not because of Jesus, because of her faith, he said. How did blind Bartimaeus get his healing? Not because Jesus was, like, thank his lucky stars, Jesus was there. Jesus said, your faith did this. Well, Pastor Mike Anderson laying in the sick bed told, your body's never going to be the same, and some of these things are not going to go away for a year. Had I been told, God's not a healer, you know what I would have done? Accepted that. And I'd be experiencing it today, and I wouldn't be preaching in family church, and I wouldn't be in front of you today. But you know what Pastor Mike heard? That it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the report says. What does God say about my body? What does God say about the sickness? What does God say about the disease? Well, I found out that God said something different than the doctors. Well, I had been meditating on healing long before that and reading books like Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. I'd recommend you get that one. And just meditate on that. This stuff was in me. And so when they told me, it rubbed my spirit the wrong way. Bull, I am not going to be sick the rest of my life. I am not going to have symptoms for a year. I declare I'm the healer of the Lord. So much so I got so angry that I talked Grandma Allison to tell me how to turn the bed alarm off because they wanted to keep me set, you know. She's, you got to watch out for her. And did you just say don't say that? Why? It's fun. You love it. Don't act like you don't love it. She's embarrassed now. I mean, she did ask me to spend the night at her house one night. She did. I got a text message from her asking me, would you like to come over and spend the night? I said, sure. You want me to bring popcorn? Well, then she realized it wasn't her granddaughter that she texted. It was her pastor. I said, you want me to bring popcorn? She says, yes, and Courtney and Caleb and all of them. Don't you just come. I love you, Grandma, so much. You might not feel it right now, but I do. I do. Oh, praise God. I love you so much. And I knew, no, I'm not going to lay here the rest of my life. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And I got up out of that bed and I walked around with that IV cart and I could hardly move and the tears were going down my face. I was in so much pain. I'm the healed of the Lord. You said in your word, Father, you'll heal all my diseases. Doesn't matter that this happened to me. Doesn't matter there's a name on it. Doesn't matter that they can point to things. You said it. Within 2 to 3 months, every single symptom, the year-long symptoms and the lifelong symptoms were nowhere to be found. You know why? Because I believe the word. But you know why I believe the word? Because I heard the word. And I went back to my doctor's appointment and they just looked at me dumbfounded. This can't be. What in the world? They went back, checked the chart. Is this really what it was? Because there's nothing there anymore. Faith in the word. Amen. What does God want to do for you? Those of you that are a little uncomfortable, maybe it's a little different to you, a little weird, not what you've been taught. If you just say, why not just listen and see what the word says? Amen? So we prepared some hearts today because God wants to do something in your lives. And we'll go forward with it next week. And what we're going to see in this series, to kind of give you a preview, we're going to see in this series, clearly in the Word, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a separate experience from salvation, because the argument is, you get all the Holy Ghost you ever need at salvation. Well, the disciples didn't get all the Holy Ghost they ever needed at salvation. Jesus said, you need something else. You're going to see that clearly in the Word over and over, not just one place. You're going to see, is this available for everybody? Or is this just for certain select people or for those that were in the Bible times? You're going to find out clearly in the Word, it's for every single person. Amen? Amen? You're going to see in the Word that it didn't pass away in Bible times. That's what they tell you. Oh, this was just for the Bible times. What verse do you have on that? Because I got ones that say it didn't. Amen? You're going to see exactly what tongues is. What is this speaking in tongues? We're going to clearly define it for you, and it's going to bring peace and comfort to you. Amen? And then one of the fun parts of it, we'll look at the benefits of it, which is so cool. It makes you want to do it all the time. That's why Paul did it all the time. Because he knew, wow, what happens when you do? But then another fun part of this series is when you take all the naysayer verses. Say, this is what they say. But let's look at what the Bible says according to what they're saying, why it's not anymore. Amen? So we got some fun things to look forward to. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. We laid some groundwork today, went a little bit longer, but Father, it was important to lay the foundation. We're not some weird, ooky, spooky, carnal church that's just doing things on our own, Father. No, we adhere closely to your word, for your word is life. Your word is freedom. Your word is the deliverance that we need. So, Father, I pray for every single hearer today, every single heart that received this. I pray, Father, that they would not leave this here, regardless of their background, regardless of where they've come from, regardless of what they already know or don't know, that they would be hungry for this. And those that are already acquainted with it, it would light a fire under them and they'd get a greater revelation of what it actually is, what it's for, what it can do for them, and they would charge forward into 2020 in a new way. And those that are skeptical and those that are that never been taught this, those that are unlearned or ignorant in this, I pray that they would stay and see, wow, it's all over the Word. I want this. And they'd receive it. And they'd walk into these wonderful, marvelous blessings that I'm talking about. Because it's real. It's true, Father. So I thank you for it. I thank you that this is going to change this church. This is going to change the Allegheny Church. And this is going to change the lives of the people in this church. And we're going to go forward in a way with power. And we know the devil is scared out of his mind right now. Good. Hallelujah. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, please nobody looking around. We're not talking about heaven or hell. Whether you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost or not. One person accused me, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They accused me and said, Pastor Mike preaches that if you don't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you don't speak in tongues, you go to hell. I never said that, never will say it, because it's not the Bible. In fact, it's not even the greatest gift ever given to us. Salvation was the greatest gift ever given to us. And with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here this morning, ask yourself this question, or if you can hear my voice listening online. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. If the answer is even slightly a possibility of a no, or I think so, or I'm not sure, get off the fence of eternity when God has so clearly and freely offered it to you, an easy gift to receive. If you just believe in Jesus and receive Him, He said, you have eternal life. Jesus said in John 3:16, whosoever believes. That's all He said. Romans 10:13, just call on my name, you'll be saved. So if you're here with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, and you can say, I've never received Jesus, but I want to, Pastor Mike. I want to get off the fence of eternity. I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, would you lift your hand high in the air? Anybody at all that's never done that? Don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody at all in here that's never done that? Just lift your hand high in the air. Father, I don't see any hands in here. That doesn't surprise me too much. But if there's someone listening online, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they make Jesus their Lord. You say, how do I do that, Pastor? You just cry out to Him. Cry out to Him with a pure heart and say, Lord, I do believe in You. I believe You died and I believe You rose again, and I ask You to come into my heart. If you'll pray that and mean it, He'll take up residency. God will become your Father. He'll wipe your past away. And then the next thing you need to do is get planted in a Bible-teaching church. Send me an email, give me a phone call, let me know, and we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church. Doesn't have to be this one. But you want it to be a Bible-teaching one so you can learn what God has for you and take advantage of it. Can we all stand up and worship Him together before we go? Not just pastor worshiping, not just to get through the rest of the service. Let's worship Him. We thank You, Lord. We praise You, Lord, and magnify You. You're so good to us. So good to us. So thankful for Your Word. We are so blessed in the family churches to hear some of this stuff. Oh, it changes our lives. Thank You, Lord, for the Word. We bless You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you at 6:30 on Wednesday. You're dismissed.